present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the Creator, creation itself, will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we have, do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that our words cannot express. And he who searches our heart knows the minds of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Evangelist Robbie Zacharias tells of attending a conference for itinerant evangelists where a renowned Korean speaker by the name of Billy Kim told the story of an American soldier hiding in a bunker during the Korean War. When his commander commanded him to rescue some of his fallen mates on the front lines, the soldier nodded his head, took a covert glance at his watch, stalled until his commanding officer was out of sight, and simply made no move. Several minutes went by, and a colleague reminded him of his rescue assignment. Again, he looked at his watch and delayed. Finally, he leaped out of the bunker and with fearlessly began carrying his compatriots to safety. At the end of the day, one of his friends asked him to explain his actions. The soldier said, "I was afraid because I knew I was not ready to die. I waited until my fear would be overcome, remembering that at a certain time, every hour, my mother had said she would pray for me. Then I knew that no matter what awaited me, I could face it." I suppose many of us have found courage, hope, and direction in our lives because of the prayers of our mothers. The truth is that if it were not for the prayers of loving and faithful mothers, our lives may very well have turned out a lot different. Not only do our mothers pray for us, but it is also likely that many of us learned to pray with the help of our mothers. So one has to wonder, by the prayers of these children, just what was going through their minds while their mothers were teaching them. "Dear God," Jane says, "instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you got now?" Neil says, "Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in church. Is that okay?" Joyce prays, "Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy." And Larry, "Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works with my brother." And Allie advice, "Dear God, I think about you sometimes, even when I'm not praying." When it comes to knowing how to pray and what to pray for, God has not left mothers and those they love alone without a teacher. The Holy Spirit gives guidance to bringing powerful prayers to God. God is very interested in making our prayer life a life-changing adventure. The Apostle Paul instructs us to rely on the Spirit of God to carry us along in our times of prayer and to breathe hope into our expectations for God to answer. And so he writes in our scripture lesson this morning, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The Apostle Paul presents the truth that the Holy Spirit leads and guides and empowers prayers that make a difference. We are guided into powerful praying by learning to rely on the Spirit for His intervention in our lives. It is therefore crucial to understand the work of the Holy Spirit as an intercessor on our behalf. I must say to you that great care must always be taken when looking at a portion of Scripture, not to take what is said out of the context in which it is written. So let me give a little more context to the Scripture verses that I want to focus our attention on this morning. This will help you see how the Apostle led up to his conclusions and why he introduced the Scripture text that I want to focus on in verses 26 and 27 of Romans 8 with the words, in the same way. Now in Romans chapter 8, the text that Don read for us, Paul has been writing about suffering for his faith and how that this is a regular occurrence for everyone who decides to follow Jesus. It's all a part of learning to endure hard times in the same way that Jesus did and legitimizes our place as a member of God's household. However, the Christ life is not just about hard times and suffering. There is a huge upside to being a Christ follower, which is revealed in the relationship that we are enabled to have with the Heavenly Father and the fellowship that we experience through the Holy Spirit. The full extent of these benefits will become a reality when we come into the eternal presence of God in heaven. However, for any who have committed themselves to living up the values and priorities of Jesus, even now, good times can replace the bad, and hope does overcome despair. Paul points to the time when all evil and suffering and heartache will be eliminated by a total remake of all creation. Now he observes that all creation is in bondage to death and decay. Something totally unnatural has brought about this condition, which can only be reversed by the supernatural. And so before global warming and greenhouse gases and oil sands, the Apostle Paul raised the issue of environmental pollution. He spoke to the matter of a whole world crying out for release and renewal. In this state of desperation, God can and will be found. At some point, though, God will say enough, and what were dead and dying will be replaced and renewed. Creation will not be annihilated like so many of the future movies depict. Rather, it will be renewed. God is into renewal, not obliteration. And so Paul likens the earth in its quest for renewal to a pregnant mother ready to give birth. Just as a mother suffers through the pains of labor with the hope of birthing a healthy baby at the end of her pain, so all creation groans in anticipation of the day when the new birth that the Spirit of God brings to the lives of those who have surrendered to God's purposes will culminate in their glorious freedom. Now, any pregnant mother that I have been around grows in impatience the closer that the due date comes for delivery. When our daughter-in-law was pregnant with their second child, everyone was telling her that she for sure would go well before her due date because she had been 5 weeks early with her first child. And so when her due date came and went and she was still large with child, she was quite anxious to have the birthing experience over and would cringe when every time someone would say to her, "Are you still here?" Why do people say those dumb things to pregnant women? But Paul is saying that just as the whole earth can't wait for God to complete his plan and purpose for renewal, so all who understand that God is working out his plan in their lives personally cannot wait for him to complete his work. But in the meantime, there's a lot of life to deal with. So how are we helped in facing the realities of heartache and pain and disappointment? Well, the Holy Spirit becomes for us the source of comfort, assurance, hope, and deliverance. He enables us to eagerly expect God to come through for us in life change experience. That's what Paul is addressing when he says, in the same way. That is, just as pregnant mothers look to give birth and creation groans to be released, so those who belong to God anticipate the Spirit working in their lives to deliver them from their weaknesses. The Holy Spirit helps us in our deepest needs. Now, the Holy Spirit knows us. He knows everything there is to know about us. He knows us better than we even know ourselves. He knows our names. My parents had 6 children, 2 girls and 4 boys, and as you can expect, things around the house could get quite lively. Often we would chase one another through the house, which was designed in such a way that we could race in circles through the living room, dining room, kitchen, hallway, bedroom, and back around again. And naturally, we weren't supposed to do this. But like all true descendants of Adam and Eve, we were wired to disobey. And so we would run. And Mom would call out to us to stop. That was when having several brothers came in handy. For Mom would not always be able to get our names out right. It wasn't that she didn't know who we were. She just couldn't find the proper name at the moment that she needed it. And so if I had been leading the chase, she would often call, "Ron, Raymond, Ross, David, stop it." Now her inability to spit out our names readily came in real handy if I had knocked over a plant or sent a porcelain cup crashing to the floor from one of the number of shelves or cabinets, which would mean that I would be in big trouble. By the time she got my name out, I could be a block away. One thing we need never fear, whether we are in trouble or not, is that the Holy Spirit will somehow get our name confused. He knows who we are. He is intimately familiar with everything that is going on in our lives because he is with us all of the time. However, many times we are the ones confused about who we are and where we are going. And so we sigh and groan and become anxious about all that is happening and often feel powerless to do anything about it. Our limitations stare us down and we become disillusioned about ever seeing any meaningful change. And in our weariness, we are quick to forget that the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. So what are some of the greatest struggles that you are facing? Health issues, loneliness, injustice, bone-deep weariness, change, addiction, disappointing relationships? Let me ask you, do you believe that the Spirit of God is with you to help you address the deepest needs in your lives? Are you convinced that God is aware of what is going on and is both willing and able to help? Are you prepared to trust God with everything you face and rest in the sure knowledge that His Spirit is actively working on your behalf? I think Paul has hit on a profound truth that needs to tightly grip us. He is informing us that God is personally active in our lives through His Spirit. And this activity, the apostle indicates, takes on a unique characteristic. For the Holy Spirit helps us in our deepest needs by praying for us. The Apostle Paul states, "The Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express." Stop to think about that for a minute. Prayer is not an on-your-own journey. It is not a do-it-yourself project. There is help for us when we pray. God the Holy Spirit enables us in our praying, and when we can't think of what to say, He takes up our cause with words that we cannot express. The Message translates the apostle's words in this way. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He, the Holy Spirit, does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. There are times when I am praying that I run out of words to say. Sometimes the matter about which I am praying is just too huge for me to get my mind around. And words fail me in trying to express what is on my heart. That's when I simply stop and invite the Holy Spirit to take up my concern. I ask Him to search my heart and unpack my deepest inner longings. I call on Him to reveal any sin or attitude or disobedience that may hinder my prayers. And then I rest in Him to lead, guide, and direct me according to God's good purposes for my life. Now, to be totally honest with you, there are other times when I am praying that my mind goes in 100 different directions. I suffer from what might be called spiritual mindlessness. My mind drifts and I fail to remain focused and present in my praying. I find myself engaging in the luxury of daydreaming. This kind of spiritual mindlessness is not what the apostle has in mind when he talks about the Holy Spirit praying on our behalf. I cannot expect the Holy Spirit to search my heart and take up my cause while I am drifting off into la-la land. Prayer is a discipline, and we need to be serious about staying alert and focused when we pray. However, at those times when we are convinced our hearts are right with God, but we are stuck on how to proceed in our prayers, we are not helplessly alone. The Holy Spirit comes to our assistance by speaking prayers from our deepest sighs and aching groans that God understands. So this becomes a great source of encouragement to us in our praying. Because as Paul goes on to point out, the Holy Spirit helps us in our deepest need by praying for us according to God's will. Our insight into God's will is limited by our humanness. We just don't have the perspective on the bigger picture that God does. And so in many situations, we are puzzled to know exactly how to pray and what to pray for. That's when the Holy Spirit is invaluable to us. He understands perfectly what God's will is and therefore can pray on our behalf accordingly. And our Heavenly Father, who knows our hearts and hears and answers those prayers. And so the Apostle Paul writes, "And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will." Our inability to pray as precisely as we would like is no hindrance to the working of God's perfect will in our lives. We may not know what to ask for in a given situation, but the Spirit does. And we can rely on Him to work all things in keeping with God's will. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. As one author I was reading states, God's purpose and guidance is not to get us to perform the right actions. His purpose is to help us become the right kind of people. Ultimately, God's will for us is to shape us and fit us with the character of Christ. We are not passive players in this process, but neither are we to shoulder the whole responsibility ourselves. The process of God's Spirit being released within you to do all that I've been talking about begins with a decision on your part to invite God to be the central personality in your life. This means asking Him to produce within you the kind of life that reflects His intentions, His priorities, His eternal perspective, and then trusting Him to work these things out in your life through the indwelling presence of His Holy Spirit. This may mean stepping into the uncertainties that you are currently facing with the firm confidence that God will not leave you helpless, but will take up your cause when words fail you in prayer, when others come up short in supporting you. Frank Laubach was a missionary in the Philippines. He's written a number of compositions on prayer that have been published in a book entitled Letters by a Modern Mystic. He urged Christians to live their lives of unceasing focus on God. He played what he called the game of minutes, in which he consciously attempted to turn his mind back to the Spirit of God every minute. I conclude with a quote from Letters by a Modern Mystic. Laubach writes, "As for me, I never lived. I was half dead. I was a rotting tree, until I reached the place where I wholly, with utter honesty, resolved and then re-resolved that I would find God's will. And I would do that will through every fiber in me said no. And I would win the battle in my thoughts. It was as though some deep artesian well had been struck in my soul. Money, praise, poverty, opposition, these make no difference. For they all alike will be forgotten in 1,000 years. But this spirit comes to that which comes to a mind set upon continuous surrender. This spirit is timeless life. The truth of all that we've been considering takes on reality as you turn your mind toward the Spirit of God, giving Him your full attention and waiting before Him with expectant hearts. Learn to live in a conscious awareness of His presence. Grow in your anticipation of His engagement in your daily routines. Dwell upon the truth that He knows your name and everything about you. Rest in the security that he is praying for you with all wisdom in keeping with God's will. Then as you are made ready by the assurance the Spirit brings to you, engage life with eager hope. Let's pray. And so, Father, we are grateful this morning for the reality of the presence of your Spirit and of the role that he has in enabling us to become all that you intend us to be. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for interceding on our behalf, for understanding us so well that you are able to bring before the throne of grace those things, those thoughts, those concerns, those words that we get stuck with. So we pray that we will be attentive to your directing us, and that we will be able to rest and trust in your care and your prayers on our behalf. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.